Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Guess who? ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
Yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Good to hear from DJ. I like hearing, one, the possibility of 10 interceptions from Derek Stingley. Was a little late in the segment, so I didn't want to explode like a teapot over hearing about wide receiver ones. God, I hate that. Doesn't matter. And as to go,
I think in the context that he said it, it's okay.
No, it's not. It's not. I just threw my keys. This is one of those things where it should not matter who the wide receiver one is. You have three great wide receivers. Whoever's open gets the ball. That's how it should work. And this wide receiver one thing, it never existed until fantasy football started, and until, for whatever reason, Peter Berg thought it would be cute to try out the idea of QB1 in Friday Night Lights. And now all of a sudden, everyone is parroting that, and it's never been said until an effing TV show featuring a great TV show, might I add, but a TV show that was essentially a soap opera.
Yes.
Has turned the lexicon into this, like, who's wide receiver one? Who's QB1? No.
Aren't you rewatching it right now, too?
I am rewatching it right now, but I'm stopping rewatching it right now entirely because of hearing DJ say wide receiver one.
Paul's in protest.
Yeah, I it does not matter. I don't understand why people are so obsessed with that as far as conversations.
I like the Stingley one, though. 10 interceptions. He had 5 last year in 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
He's played only 20 games total in 2 years, but there's no pre-existing injury right now. So if he's healthy, which he was last year, as soon as he got on the field, he was healthy. If he can play a full schedule, I think 17. I like that one a lot. Getting 10 receptions in 17 games for him is very feasible.
He has to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And look, that has been hard for him. But I don't think there's any denying the talent that he has. He is about as good as wide receivers when it comes to just taking the football out of the air. And as DJ said, there are some defensive backs out there that don't have the best hands, like Sauce Gardner. Are they playing defensive back because their hands are what they are? I don't know. All I'm saying is that some guys are actually good at coming down with it. And if Stingley gets a lot of interceptions this year, sky is certainly the limit for the Houston Texans. So you want to weigh in on that take? You can. You can also weigh in on whether or not you trust Stephon Diggs. We talked about that. The beginning of the show, his teammates voted on him as a team captain for this season. I am really I'm really excited about the possibility of Kyle Tucker being back soon. But of course, who effing knows with the Houston Astros?
Yep.
Dana Brown was on the Astros flagship earlier today. It's time for a little segment that we like to call Down with Dana Brown. Are you down with Dana B?
You down with Dana B?
This ball club's too good.
You down with Dana B?
He's pretty much given me the steering wheel and said, hey, this is your gig.
You down with Dana B?
These guys have been out for so much of the season that it feels like we're acquiring two new players.
I guess we'll see.
Dana Brown was asked about Kyle Tucker on the Astros flagship this morning. Quote, I think we have a chance to see Tucker in the next 3 to 5 days. I was told today or tomorrow!
He did change it while you were gone. They said the first... Sean, I can't remember if it was Dana Brown or if it was Espada. One of them said the first 10 days of September.
No, but then
then this weekend, wasn't it, he'll be back in Cincinnati?
They said he'll travel with Cincinnati. They said it was possible.
I heard or read, and again,
it's so confusing.
Now I have to have an epic flow chart up there. I was told it was today or tomorrow.
Next 3 to 5 days.
I'm taking a deep breath. Taking a deep breath. Don't want to sound like angry bees. Continued Dana Brown. He's right there on the brink. We're still discussing it. So angry I can't speak. But it'll probably be right back with the big club.
Probably.
I was told he wasn't going to have a rehab stint either.
Yeah, I don't like the probably.
Dana! Dana! You are messing with me, bro!
It's like a giant troll.
You don't say. Now I think he's having one of us. And you know what? Some days, I like a good troll.
Yeah, but that almost makes me like a little bit more down with Dana. If at the end of the season, he's like, hey, guys, we knew his return date the whole time. We were just like, eh. You'll figure it out when we figure it out or when we tell you.
Don't tell me things and then take them back days later. Joe Espada said Wednesday or Thursday. Dana Brown said no rehab stint. And now all of a sudden, here we are, 2 days after learning that Kyle Tucker did indeed break a bone in his shin.
That's what this whole thing has felt like, too, is the updates. Is we get one version from Dana Brown, and then we get another one when the reporters ask follow-up questions to Joe Espada. And they're always just a little different. Like, they're not, like, they're not, you know, they're not 100 yards apart different. But they're never the same thing. And I don't quite understand why. It's like Dana Brown's getting his from the medical staff, and Joe Espada gets his updates only from Kyle Tucker. So it always just seems a little bit different. It's very strange. But
yeah,
maybe by next week.
Maybe by next week. I was told it was today or tomorrow. You know what? I'm just as mad as you were, Joe, for them lying to us.
What if he's just in the lineup today? That would be funny. Just lied to us even more.
I'd be happy.
Because it's like you're annoyed that they're still lying.
No, tomorrow.
You're like, hey, Kyle Tucker's back.
Tomorrow, I'd have a good laugh about it. I would.
Yeah.
And I would hope that my anger, which apparently is entertaining to others, didn't know that. That's, I guess, why I'm in this industry. I will appreciate that moment gave you a little bit of levity in your day as you heard me lose my mind and start yelling like a crazy person. But I was told it was today or tomorrow. Me and you, we all were.
Next 35 days, though.
It's crazy. This whole thing.
It's nuts. The whole thing.
Because
they could have just told us it was a broken bone. And none of us would have the questions that we have every day.
It would have made Dana Brown's life easier.
Yes!
If he wasn't asked about it every week on 790. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, like at this point, we'd be having the same questions when they keep moving the goalposts a little bit. But the whole interim point when it was, I mean, when they started with he's going to be out for 2 days.
I can even understand where they don't immediately diagnose it as a fracture. So like the immediate, hey, he might play this weekend. Actually, no, he won't. But then it's the entire 2 months after that where we were just in limbo thinking he could come back 2 weeks from now at every point of the season.
The next 3 to 5 days is, you may as well say a week. And again, it was Wednesday or Thursday. I think we have a chance to see him in the next 3 to 5 days from Wednesday or Thursday. On Wednesday. Deep breaths.
Also,
who's Fraba?
Also, they mentioned something about he broke like part of the bone, like part, like the front part of the shin. And we had a caller call in who's a doctor, and he was like, that has nothing to do with this. Like, it's just the bone. Like, it's not, there's not a front part to break and a back part to break. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I'm and just he was gonna, like, upset that with Dana Brown about the messaging.
I'm just going to guess. September 10th. That's when he's back. So in 6 days. Because they're off on Monday.
What? But he said 3 to 5.
Well, they're off on Monday. So.
Do you think he comes back on 9/11 and they bring him onto the field and he's carrying the American flag? I wouldn't want that.
Not.
I'd be kind of nervous about him.
He might get hurt.
Didn't work out for the last guy who did
that. That's essentially a rehab start, though, starting September 10th. Because you play the Oakland A's, who they've been much better in the second half, and then you play the Angels.
Yeah, hey, the A's are owning the Mariners.
Man, true. Seattle falling apart. I'm on a text line with some of my old coworkers in Seattle, and one of them texted today. I assumed the Astros did something because I woke up to this text.
saying, I don't know if I hate the Astros or Mariners ownership more. What a place to be. What a place to be. Dana Brown, are you down with Dana Brown? Are you down with Dana B? Dana Brown was asked about Justin Verlander. We know that JV is going through a spring training-like mode right now with how long he was out. But we also know the pedigree of JV. He's still got the stuff and is showing some rust. So this is, Joe, where I was yesterday with Verlander. I know you don't feel he'll be superhuman again, and I agree with you on that front. But I also am not getting alarmed by his start on Monday where he got hit to the tune of, what, 7 singles and 1 double and gets chased out of the game with that weird bloop down the right field line. Could have been a 2-run game. Just a mediocre outing, but not a bad one by any means. I guess I feel a little less confident in my take when Dana Brown's delivering propaganda that, oh, yeah, he's just working through spring training. This is just the natural contrarian in me saying, oh, he's saying it. I don't know now.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with Dana Brown. Because how can I? Because we were supposed to see Kyle Tucker today and tomorrow.
that's an interesting way to look at it. I'm with you. You kind of convinced me yesterday that like this is more rust and that there's still going to be a good, just not a great Justin Verlander left this season. Dana Brown's always going to say things like this, but at least he's acknowledging it's not great. He's not just giving us just straight up.
What low standards we have.
I know. They give it to us. They set the standard.
It's hard to limbo like this. We're in our 30s.
We are. Not all of us, though. Baby Sean over there.
What?
You're not 30 yet.
No, I'm not. I'm 28.
You can tell his attention span just.
I was on TikTok. Sorry.
It's Galana George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That is down with Dana Brown. So, Kyle Tucker, there's a chance to see him in the next 3 to 5 days. Probably right back with the Astros.
Probably. Make sure you get that probably in there every time.
And Verlander's in spring training mode.
Is the most important word when reading a Dana Brown quote the word probably?
I think so.
Probably, yes. Or around, I feel like, are the two most, like, focus in on those.
Because now I'm just, like, half expecting, like, even though I said he'll be back Tuesday, now I'm still part of me expects him just to, in 3 days, go to the Space Cowboys and then go back to the Astros.
Oy vey. Anyway, it is Galan and George. Up next, who would you rather have right now on today, September 4th, 2024, as your head coach? Shane Steichen, head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, or D'Amico Ryans, head coach of the Houston Texans? That's on the table. Plus, do you trust Stephon Diggs? And how do you feel about the latest Dana Brown updates? I'm sure you feel great. Don't go anywhere. It's ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie. And mybookie.ag. So the folks at MyBookie, they're making the website a little bit cooler. This year, MyBookie's adding a promotion on Thursday, a weekly risk-free boost. If your bet hits, you win. If it doesn't, MyBookie will refund your wager. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Almost to the point where, just like I'm skeptical of things that Dana Brown says, I'm a little skeptical when I see it, but no, you got to trust him. That's my friends in MyBookie. They're also giving away hundreds of thousands in prizes with their Super Contest, their Survivor Contest, and Squares Contest. Join in now for your shot at huge cash rewards. To get started, go to mybookie.ag and you use promo code BET975. You'll get a deposit bonus on your first deposit. And you can deposit with crypto. You can deposit with credit. The bigger your deposit, the bigger your bonus. And check out the new loyalty program with MyBookie Plus, where the more you play, the more you win. Climbing through tiers of our loyalty rewards program to unlock even more epic promotions. Bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.ag.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
It's not about the guys wearing the headset on Sundays all that much. It's important to have a good head coach, but generally it is the players that determine what happens over the course of a 60-minute game in the National Football League. And to that point, DeMeco Ryan said as much when he was asked about another matchup with Shane Steichen, head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, also going into his second year.
I don't look at it as a history, right? Between me and Steichen, like, it's about the players playing the game, right? Our players, Shane is a really good coach. He always has his guys prepared, ready to go, really respect him as a coach. And for me, it's, we got to do the same. Like, just have our guys prepared, ready to go, ready for anything that they may throw at us. So it's not about me or Shane. It's about the players who strap it up on the field.
Strap it up.
I definitely agree with him, but I thought your questioning when DJ was in here is totally fair about Steichen versus DeMeco.
I thought Steichen pants DeMeco in week two.
Yeah.
Second game of DeMeco's head coaching career. And to what you said earlier, I mean, it did get a little bit of help with Brock Purdy's elbow not working anymore.
Yes.
But
yes.
You're right. Like, the Eagles offense made it move against a pretty good 49ers defense in that NFC championship game. Maybe not to the degree that the Eagles would have wanted, but still, they did a pretty good job in that game. I wonder about this matchup because I felt the Colts should have won that game on Saturday. Obviously happened. The Houston Texans did win that one, but last year on that Saturday where the entire Texans offense was Nico Collins, they had no business winning that game. Mm-hmm. Go back and rewatch it. It is crazy. They did nothing for large portions of the game on offense, and then Jonathan Taylor eventually got going for the Colts, and Gardner Minshew was just awful. He was totally bad. I can't believe that he's the Raiders starting quarterback. He was so bad last year, and specifically in that game. And I wonder how much better it'll be with Anthony Richardson. Now, we did touch on this earlier, this month, or I guess check that, it was last month, but like within the last month, we talked about how there were numerous Cincinnati Bengals in joint practices between the Colts and the Bengals that were roasting Anthony Richardson. Mm-hmm. They thought he was holding onto the football too long. They thought that all he could do was run. It has not been a great offseason for Anthony Richardson going into his second NFL season. Is he the X factor on Sunday?
Or he has to be. Because we know Taylor's going to have some success. He's a good running back still. You know Anthony Richardson's going to have success as well running the football. But you can beat Anthony Richardson if he can't throw. Like, that's like, I like Anthony Richardson a lot as like a fantasy football quarterback in terms of just like he's going to have some long throws. He's going to have a lot of rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. But like, I don't necessarily believe in him the everyday quarterback right now, because he hasn't proven it. He hasn't proved that he can do the simple things. He can't throw the ball over the middle consistently. He struggles, it seems like, to read defenses. And, of course, he can't stay on the field. He's been hurt too much. So he has to be the X factor. If those, you know, like if the Cincinnati players just happen to see the worst days of Anthony Richardson, I think it's lowered our expectations for him, those quotes specifically. Like, you don't often hear guys dogging players like that. Because it wasn't just what the media was hearing during practice. Like, it was, they knew what was being said.
Yeah. The Colts have better receivers than you'd think. Michael Pittman Jr., big-bodied guy. Josh Downs, you might not have heard of him.
Sneaky good.
Guy had almost 800 yards receiving last year. And they just brought in Adonai Mitchell. And for those who have been paying attention to training camp highlights, Donovan Mitchell apparently has an incredible wiggle at the start of his routes where, like, right off the line of scrimmage, he is making people look silly. And for those who watched him at Texas, I'm sure you're already very familiar with him, and you would probably go back and forth who's better between Xavier Worthy and him. My God, what a receiving core Texas had last year. But to bring it back to this, they have guys to throw to. Mm-hmm. They sure do, and I think
you could definitely ask yourself, hey, what happens if the Colts spread me out? Sean made a face there. I guess the phrasing of that was a little strange. But look, after your second corner, Kamari Lassiter, who, by the way, is a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who your number three corner
and
is.
And you look at, you know, the one knock on him so clearly going into the season was his 40 time. So, like, Mitchell is not someone you ever want to see him matched up with against. Jalen Petrie, while I like him in this new position and, like, his as the slot corner, do you really want him, like, as the third corner covering guys? I say no.
No.
So I don't even know who, when if he goes back, moves back to safety for a play, and they have like a more traditional cornerback in, I don't even know who it is right now.
Okuda?
I guess it's Okuda. Which, like, great. Like, don't love that matchup.
No.
The Texans corners are, I've read two different articles now, one from ESPN. DJ actually was the one who said it was, the offensive line was the Texans' biggest weakness, and then there was another one from The Athletic, and I'm still not sure it's not the cornerbacks as, like, the biggest weakness of this team. Because Lassiter's been awesome in camp, it seems like, but he's still a rookie.
Yeah. I mean, you're one injury away from being in a lot of shootouts this year, for lack of a better term. Even if your pass rush is really, really good. And I have some doubts about Anthony Richardson. I know you've been consistent mm-hmm. with your doubts of Anthony Richardson. I was a little more bullish on him until the last couple of weeks, and maybe I'm just a prisoner of reading too many ProFootballTalk.com articles.
I'm kind of where you are with, like, the zag. Like, I'm almost at the point now with Anthony Richardson, I want to zag back. That, like, I'm a believer a little bit.
People are too
like,
down.
Like, no, I feel like, no
people
I know.
Are too
but, like,
up, and then now they're too down.
Yeah, I feel like they're too down on him now. And I'm like, wait. Like, I don't think it was this. It's not this bad.
I don't know, though. This is a take that you've been very right on.
I know, but it's by, I know. So,
I think we're in a good spot. I think it's healthy. I think early in the offseason, people didn't have enough doubts about Anthony Richardson. Because when you hear the stat, and I think it was DJ that brought it up, with 17 starts since he graduated high school. That is so few starts since graduating high school. And I think that's also going to play a part of it. And I think you can be optimistic on Anthony Richardson long term. I have a hard time being optimistic for Anthony Richardson in week one or even this year. Because, again, it'll be start 18 for him on Sunday since he graduated high school. So I think the inexperience there, he can be talented, but I think ultimately at being, you know, doing the little things that a quarterback needs to do, something that CJ Stroud's very good at, even while being super young, I think those things are ultimately what's going to hold him back this year.
I think that the good news for Richardson, though, is that he has Shane Steichen. And I'm going to ask this question again, because I asked it going into the segment. Who would you rather have right now, September 4th, 2024, D'Amico Ryans or Shane Steichen? And look, there's going to be natural bias here because, one, D'Amico Ryans played for this team. Two, D'Amico Ryans was borderline coach of the year last year and kicked the coach of the year's ass, the Browns and Kevin Stefanski, in his first ever playoff game as head coach. There's no denying that he is trending in the right direction as far as head coaches. But I know there's a lot of people out there that look at a person's background as a coach and they want the guy who's got an offensive mind. And I thought some of the stuff that Steichen was doing early on in that game where he had Anthony Richardson against the Texans was creative to the point where it seemed like they caught the Texans off guard with a lot of what they were doing. And there was motion going on, but it wasn't the cutesy Bobby Slowick motion that we'd seen a couple of times.
Did they have, like, purpose?
Right. It seemed to have a purpose. It wasn't Pep Hamilton motions, which were the, my
What's
God.
What's he up to these days?
But, well, he stopped by Texans training camp. I remember I was like, I recognize that guy. Who is it? And I guess he's an NFL Network guy. Now,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, I forget who he was there with because I was like, I think it was with Steve Weiss. I was like, I know who that is. Why can I not put a face to a name to that face?
Yeah,
and then I found out it was Pep Hamilton.
Gotcha.
I hope he's doing good as an analyst. I truly do wish him well. I thought he was going to do really well that year,
mm-hmm.
but there's all sorts of crazy motions. But Steichen, it's never pointless, and I mean, he had Gardner Minshew last year, and they were a game away from winning the AFC South and going to the playoffs. This is a good Colts team. I think Steichen's done a good job. And if I removed from my brain the knowledge that D'Amico Ryans has been here, will probably stay here for a while because of that, and because of the fact that he played in the NFL. If I remove like knowing his time here with the Houston Texans, I think I would be more open to picking Shane Steichen over D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, it's a little bit popular here, but I'm picking Shane Steichen. They went from 4 wins to 9 wins. You went from 3 wins to 10 wins, but they did it with Gardner Minshew and Anthony Richardson, who has 17 starts. He played one game for 4 full quarters last year. So what they did last year was very impressive with their turnaround. And it's not super fair to D'Amico, but I know the 49ers defensive coordinator got fired last year, but the 49ers defense was still pretty damn good last year. But look at Jalen Hurts. Like, Jalen Hurts going into last year was a top 5 quarterback in the NFL because Shane Steichen was his OC, and look what happened
after.
That's
a great point.
Like, it's just, I see.
Is it all him? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
But I think that's a great point.
It's just like between what he did with Gardner and Richardson and then what happened to Hurts, and the 49ers still went to the Super Bowl without D'Amico. I love D'Amico. But before D'Amico got hired, Steichen was the guy that I wanted, him and Ben Johnson. Mm-hmm. I'm glad D'Amico's the coach, but I would still say, like, if they both went into free agency right now, I would say hire the offensive guy because Bobby Sloak's going to walk at the end of the season.
Yeah, sometimes a coach can get more out of a quarterback than others. Now, he's not a coordinator anymore. He's the head coach of the team and different responsibilities. You're not always as hands-on, but I'm assuming Shane Steichen's very hands-on with that Colts offense. And, you know, I think about Arthur Smith. When Arthur Smith was in Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill, Tannehill had his best ever season. And people were saying insane things about him. But to Tannehill's credit, he played really well in that year. And I thought a lot of it had to do with Arthur Smith. Smith leaves, and Tannehill came back to earth a lot. Sometimes the coach makes the guy better. I think Steichen can make Anthony Richardson better. Is he going to make him better in Week 1? I'm on the fence there. It's going to be an interesting game, though. It is a team that the Texans are more talented than the Colts. They have bigger names than the guys that are on the Indianapolis Colts. But I to what you were saying, Steichen got a lot out of that squad last year, and they added to it. It's going to be a tough game on Sunday. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN 975, on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Who would you rather have between D'Amico Ryans and Shane Steichen right now? Up next, we continue our countdown to the start of the NFL season. We are just one day away. And guys, love might be dead. And love might be a lot more attached to lawyers than we ever thought, too. I'm really bumped out about this story. You'll hear what we're talking about in our NFL countdown. Stick around.
Well, it talked about LaBerge in Lake Charles. They're getting ready to officially open the sports book. Again, it's open right now, but the rebrand is in progress. ESPN Bet, they started putting up the signs while we were there this last weekend. We'll be back there in a couple weeks, September 22nd. Sean, Brian, myself, we'll do a bullpen edition of the show from the sports book, getting ready for the Texans game that week, Week 3 versus the Minnesota Vikings. So if you want to make a weekend trip, that's a great weekend to go while we're there. We'll be making trips in October and November as well. But when you leave Texas and want to bet on your Texas teams, it's absolutely the best place to do it. They've got the 24-foot video wall. Chef Lyle there started to introduce the new menu to us. It was incredible. The wings we had, they were hot honey sriracha. They were some of my favorite wings I've ever had in my life. It's always a good time. It's my go-to spot now when I leave Texas and want to bet on my Texas teams. Go to the sportsbook at LaBerge Lake Charles.
We are one day away. It is tomorrow. Chiefs, Ravens, Arrowhead Stadium. So, where are we at in our countdown? Remembering Houston greats wearing the number 1. Harold Warren Moon. His first name is Harold. Just found that out today. An NFL Hall of Famer.
was the Houston Oilers quarterback from 1984 to 1993. He is the best professional quarterback in Houston sports history, even though we do like George Blanda, who actually won championships for the Houston Oilers in their first couple of seasons and had some just bizarre statistics, like a 41 interception year in a season where the Oilers went 11-3. Fascinating stuff to me. But Moon is in the Hall of Fame, and he is known primarily for his time with Houston after his stint in the Canadian Football League with the Edmonton Eskimos. Warren Moon also doesn't seem to believe that the history of the Houston Oilers belongs here in Houston. And he was asked about that this offseason by Kay Adams.
Titans wore these uniforms
up
against...
Why do you think I have one this color today,
babe? Listen, I see you. We see you. We see you.
Huh?
They wore the unis against the Texans. Texas fans very pissed about this. Did they have a right to be upset?
I think they have a right to be upset, but the Tennessee Titans own that uniform. They own the history of the Houston Oilers, so they had a chance to own it themselves, and they didn't want that ownership. They wanted to create their own identity, which makes sense. They're the Houston right. Texans coming in. Let's create our own identity. But now, because the Houston Oilers uniforms became so popular coming up, they wanted it back. You can't have it both ways.
Are you hearing this drama about the Texans wanting to use that blue? Have you heard this?
Yes.
Let's take a look here. This year, the Texans sort of, you're saying, find their own identity. What do you make of this? They unveiled their alternate jersey, and the whole thing about the color blue went down.
Why can't they just stay with what they had? They had a really nice-looking uniform the first time. Why do they have to keep harping on that? I don't understand it.
Imitation really flattery?
Have your own identity. You have a really good football team right now. They won a playoff game last year. They got a chance to maybe go to a Super Bowl this year. Just create your own identity. Forget about the Houston Oilers. Forget about the Tennessee Titans.
You and I talked a lot off camera.
I think if they weren't in the same division,
this wouldn't be
as big a deal.
Well, I also think if the one team, because they weren't getting enough funding for a stadium after getting funding to renovate the Astrodome, hadn't left Houston for Nashville with literally no plan, half-assing it along the way, playing in two different stadiums their first 2 years, and then being forced to change their names, you know, get their own identity by the people of Tennessee because they all hated the nickname, the Oilers. True story. That's why they changed the nickname. I feel like it's a little bit hypocritical here. And I do think that moments like this make it a little bit easier to maybe forget about whatever good memories you have of Warren Moon under center with the Oilers and instead remember about Warren Moon and his assistant who charged him with sexual harassment, a lawsuit that was settled in court, where she alleged that during a trip to Mexico, Moon drugged her drink, removed her swimsuit, and required her to wear thong underwear and share his bed when they were together on business trips. It's the same Warren Moon. I'm just saying, a quote like that makes it a little bit easier to remember a story like that about Warren Moon.
Yeah, I don't really get his take on this. I know they're probably just paying you off. I'm assuming the Titans are. I said that's kind of how I view all of those guys who never played in Tennessee. I get why Eddie George and you know, if Steve McNair was alive, like, would have, you know, been recognized more by the Titans and no one would view them as Oilers or anything like that. Jeff Fisher, all that stuff. But guys who literally only played in Houston, I don't really get this take. Like, I don't think Gary Payton would be saying this about the Seattle Super or the Oklahoma City Thunder. Because if they were trying to wear the supersonic stuff,
like I think he has come on the record and been like, the OKC like cannot have my jersey up in the rafters. Or something. Yeah, it was something.
And
to
it's
that
not,
effect.
And that's why it's not. That's why Sean Kemp's not up there. That's why he's up there. Like, I wonder, like, if Warren Moon never played for this team, for the Oilers, like, what if the Rams weren't allowed to be Los Angeles because that's where he's from? What if when they went back to LA, they were not allowed to be the Rams? He wouldn't be having the same conversation. It's just stupid.
He never played in Tennessee. I don't get the loyalty.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
That's what's bizarre to me. If he were like Bruce Matthews, who actually believes the history of the Oilers belongs to Houston, who played for both of these franchises and played in the Super Bowl for the Titans, then that would make sense. But the one guy who was good, who played in both places, has regularly been on record saying it's kind of ridiculous that all of a sudden the Titans, who changed their nickname because people in Tennessee hated the nickname so much, have gone back to this. Because the reality is, the only piece of intellectual property that that franchise owns of any value, it's one of the cheaper and more least valuable franchises in the NFL. The only thing they have of value are those uniforms. That's it.
The only reason why they wear it now is because it sells. Yeah. Like that's the other thing, too, about the Titans.
Titans unis are ass.
Yeah, like Warren Moon can use the argument, like if you want to use it, that it's only because in division, I do think that's valid, that if the Texans were in the NFC, it might be different. But also, the only reason why the Titans wear it is so they can sell gear. They're not wearing it because they're prideful of the franchise. They're not wearing it because of the history that's associated with it. They're wearing it because it sells like hotcakes. Like, that's all. At least people here have history with it.
That's what I don't get. And them flexing it in their face. I get it. I get it, Amy. No one likes your dead dad. He's dead and gone forever. You really got to continue to do this? Because the way that they do it is clearly, like, spitefully done. Wearing it against the Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. Spitefully done. By the way, you lost to Case Keenum. Anyway. Love might be dead, guys. Love might be dead. Because the Daily Mail is reporting that Travis Kelce, who says he is not slowing down anytime soon at age 35, might be slowing down in a little thing that we like to call the quest for an engagement ring. Not for a fourth Super Bowl ring. The Chiefs are going to be fine on that front. This is a crazy Daily Mail article. And I'm taking it with a grain of salt. It is the Daily Mail. But there has been paperwork that I guess went viral on Reddit that forced Travis Kelce's representatives to deny that there are plans for Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift to split later this month. There was a document on a headed piece of paper of his U.S. PR company where this paperwork reveals a strategy to make their split and says the date for an announcement is September 28th. It also outlines a supposed plan to release an official statement at the end of this month, 3 days post-breakup, to allow the initial media frenzy to settle and ensure clarity. It adds the announcement will be gracious, respectful, and stress mutual respect. Laying out what the statement would say, they write, example, Travis and Taylor have decided to part ways after careful consideration. They both value and respect each other's personal lives and appreciate your respect for privacy during this time. So look, it's a Daily Mail article based off of a Reddit post that went viral.
Yeah.
But I want to believe this is true.
I do too. Because it could also be like they're just preparing it for the future when it inevitably happens. But the fact that there's a date on this thing is so funny. Like, we're going to announce this on September 28th. I wonder what's happening the 28th. Do the Chiefs play a certain team or anything?
Would be funny.
Do they have like a cakewalk that day?
It'd be funny if it was another Chiefs 49ers game.
It's the day before they play the Chargers.
Ah, it's just Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, so there's not a lot of juice there. Or maybe that's how unserious they take the Chargers. He's like, hey, we can drop the breakup the day before we play the Chargers. He will be in L.A. I hope this is true. Not really. I hope love is not dead.
If I were them, I would just be like, okay, we can hold off on the paperwork for another 2 weeks so it doesn't look like the Reddit and Daily Mail got to the bottom of this. Because if you complain out a breakup 20-something days in advance, 4 weeks in advance, just kick the can a couple more weeks, whatever.
So are they already broken up? That's what
the
this
report,
is saying, right? Is that they're broken up.
The report
is
that on September, what was the day again?
28th.
They will announce their split.
But that means they've already broken up.
They're just working on the PR strategy for when the breakup is announced.
Or is it just like Travis Kelce or Taylor Swift they text their PR person being like, hey, we just got in a huge fight tonight. I don't know, but start drafting up that breakup paperwork pretty soon.
But, like, what do you need?
It's
like,
a good question. And again, who knows if this is actually real. All I'm saying is it's hilarious that a story like this went viral. It's not hilarious that love might be dead.
Can we, if there's ever a Paul Gallant breakup, can we help write these?
I have to date somebody longer than four months.
No, I know, but like if we ever happened, get
to, also famous.
Yeah.
No, I think we can just pretend. We can make a bigger deal. Okay. We can just write them on air.
No, if
okay,
if no, you'll never know. Okay. You'll never know because I'm assuming if it's a breakup, like. I'm going to be tempted to say things I don't want. I wouldn't want to do that.
That's why we have to write it for you.
And
we're here to protect you.
And we just throw in a please respect Paul's privacy at this time. Boom. Now people can't get upset about what you say because they have to respect your privacy.
No, I mean, yeah, but if you're sharing any of it, then you're asking people in at all. So how about you just don't say anything? Cause that's the funny thing. Like, that's with Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. Like, we just want privacy. The royal family's racist. Well, don't say the royal family's racist if you want privacy.
I kind of just want to see, like, Andy Reid get asked now at a press conference. So, Andy, what do you think about this breakup? Is it going to affect the team this week and just see all these
they'll all roll their eyes. It's like the funny thing is it like has little to no impact on what's going on in the Chiefs locker room, but since Taylor Swift fans are psychopaths, there is a huge deal of interest in what's going on. And a story like this,
you know how we find out?
How?
We asked Brittany Mahomes what she thinks.
It's true. She got in trouble recently because she liked to post a Donald Trump-loving Instagram post.
Yeah, I saw that.
Hot water. Can't do that. Come on.
Can't like posts.
Come on, babe. The only NFL news today, and this does relate to the Texans in a way, Patrick Surtain, Broncos cornerback, signed a 4-year, $96 million deal to stay in Denver. $77.5 million in guarantees. Derek Stingley Jr. is going to make north of that. Sauce Gardner is going to make north of that. I think the real question is who's going to actually get $100 million between those two, if not both.
Yeah, for Stingley, he's just got to stay on the field.
Yep.
I mean, you're taking a risk if you're going to pay him after only one full year of being healthy. But if he's healthy for a full year, you got to sign it first. Learn your lessons from the Cowboys. The Cowboys kept making this mistake. Pay your guys first. Beat the market.
Yeah, but sometimes it's easier said than done. And I think this is going to be an obstacle. I wonder if the Texans actually are willing to give Derek Stingley more than a 3-year deal. Because take a look at every deal that they've given out thus far. They haven't given anybody more than 3 years. Not one person. Not one. It's pretty impressive. Now, who would you give the 3-year extension to? Okay, fair enough. But, I mean, Nico Collins, Laremy Tunsil, it's always 3 years. It seems like there's a weird back of Nick Caserio's mind, I'm never giving more than 3 years. And hey, it does allow for players to renegotiate over and over again and potentially make more, assuming they stay healthy and play well. But it's also something where if you're Derek Stingley Jr. and you're somebody who's been hurt a lot in your career, aren't you going to want a little more security than 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Just something to keep in mind.
I do wonder how that works out when they have to start. I mean, because CJ Stroud, let me tell you something. He's not taking no 3-year deal.
He's not.
So when the no doubt about it, all pro guys start coming up. Like, I imagine Anderson's going to get to that point. Stingley, Stroud. That's where this 3-year rule really gets put to the test.
I mean, Deshaun got 4 160, but really it was like what? It was a 3-year extension, basically.
But was that Caserio?
No. Oh, yes. No, that was Bill. Yeah. That's right. Do you trust David Mulugeta?
No.
Because he's now Derek Stingley's agent.
No. Trust him for what?
Yeah, I trust him to bleep me over in a deal.
Or trust him to get Stingley a bag. You know what? Stingley's getting $100 million.
He is.
I trust that.
I just hope they don't give him a no-trade clause. And also, and maybe that's why I just want to pay him, because like we've seen this guy, David Mulugeta, agent of Jalen Ramsey and Deshaun Watson, force trades for no reason, basically. I mean, he got Jalen out of Jacksonville. As soon as Jalen Ramsey wanted to get out of L.A., he got him out of L.A. and got him to Miami. He got Deshaun to Cleveland. If Deshaun Watson was competent and he wanted out of Cleveland, he'd probably do that too. Like, he is, to his credit, the best agent in the NFL. Just a pain in the ass for teams to work with.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Some of these agents who have
made a name for themselves. I'm impressed with how much power they're able to pull together in a short amount of time. Because remember, the first NFL super agent is the guy that's Jerry Maguire is
Lee
based
Steinberg.
Off of.
Yep.
Lee Steinberg. And then all of a sudden, he's kind of forgotten. There was
Drew Rosenhaus.
Yeah. Drew Rosenhaus with so many different people, like Terrell Owens especially. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think famous, most famous. It's like Watson with Mulugeta. I think Owens with Rosenhaus.
For sure, because he was there the day of the sit-ups.
Yeah.
And now he represents...
Next question.
Nico?
Nico.
Yeah, Nico Collins.
And he was on Hard Knocks. DJ Moore.
Yep.
I see some interesting comments on our Twitch at ESPN 975. And this is an interesting discussion, especially considering we still don't have any real football to react to yet. The Twitch has regularly put out into the ether, if you will, they believe that Stroud will not be a Houston Texan for his entire career. And okay, an entire career, it's a long career. I have a hard time believing in a league that features the franchise tag that Stroud will come anywhere close to hitting the open market. I just don't think he's ever going to be somebody where it's even in doubt that he's going to get an extension. Like with Tua Tagovailoa, like with some of these other good quarterbacks, but not great. Dak Prescott right now. No one knows where he's going to end up next year. I don't think that's ever going to happen because I feel like the franchise tag is this card that you have in the back of your pocket where the guy can't leave. And okay, maybe if you give them a no trade clause that actually allows them a little bit of leverage here, but man, if I'm the Texans and I have CJ Stroud, I'm just going to give him a franchise tag every single year. The salary cap just continues to go up and up and up. And sure, it's a little bit of a mitigating factor in terms of giving other guys contracts, but you could just keep on doing this over and over and over again. I mean, we saw Kirk Cousins do it over and over and over again.
Yeah, and I just don't think we even get close to the franchise tag, honestly. Just pay him. Pay him what he's worth. Like, give him a massive contract. Give him whatever he wants. I mean, you've never had... If he continues this trajectory, he will have gone to at least an AFC Championship game before his contract is up, I would imagine. I think he's going to win a Super Bowl, or go to a Super Bowl, sorry, before his rookie contract is up. Give him whatever he wants. If he wants a 10-year deal like Patrick Mahomes got, give it to him. Like, make sure he never plays for another team ever, ever, ever again.
Would you do it right now?
No.
You wouldn't give him the extension right now? I would give him the extension right now. I am that much of a believer in CJ Stroud. I would do it right now. Don't even care.
Well, does that come with a raise over the
let's say he can scale contract? No,
year?
Let's say he had, the rest of his rookie contract is the same, and then the raise kicks in.
Oh,
but you're locked in.
Sign him tomorrow.
All right, you know what? You've convinced me.
Because guess what? Then whoever's next is going to get re-signed, and then it's a deal.
Yeah,
wait 3 years, and it's a deal.
And they have money here. This is the thing that yes, the Texans are very careful with the contracts, the 3-year deals, and all that stuff. This is, I think, a top five most valuable franchise in the NFL. They aren't poor. And they don't have to deal with the state taxes that Bill Belichick was roasting on the Pat McAfee show. He called the Patriots Taxachusetts. I had no idea that there was a 4% tax on top of the 1% state income tax in Massachusetts. I had no idea. If you're a millionaire, there's an extra tax.
Huh.
If you make one, if you make seven figures by like 1 cent, you have to pay 4% tax. It's crazy. Whatever. Everyone's got their own idea
I'll
of how
literally
you,
never have to worry about
two
that.
Governments.
You never know.
I know.
The lottery's at $680 million right now. Yeah, maybe $700.
Yeah, but it's not in Massachusetts.
It's not in Massachusetts.
No, I know, but you could move to Massachusetts if you wanted to. Isn't that where Nantucket is?
It is. Yeah.
So, and go live. Go live in like wine country.
I could live there.
In wine country?
Yeah, why not?
You think Massachusetts is a wine country?
If you go to Nantucket, it is.
No, you drink wine.
I guess anywhere where you drink wine is wine country.
Oh, man, it's nuts. But no, look, it's not going to be money that keeps the Texans from keeping C.J. Stroud forever. It's not.
It would be C.J.
It would be C.J., but I don't know. I mean, they win a little bit here. That's all it takes. It really would mean that they had not gone past the divisional round of the playoffs if C.J. Stroud, I think, asks out, too. Like, I don't envision C.J. Stroud trying to force his way out to go play for another franchise. I just don't. Now, could be wrong on that front, obviously. We all could be wrong. And someone correctly pointing out about, hey, Deshaun Watson. Hey, like, would you have said the same thing about Deshaun Watson? I didn't believe in Deshaun Watson like this. Like, I got a lot of pushback back in his second year under center, where I was like, hey, it's okay to admit that Mahomes is better and always will be better. And everyone got pissed at me. I was like, Mahomes is clearly better. Stroud feels like he could be not quite Mahomes, but at the very least in the same conversation as Mahomes. And Deshaun Watson's never been there.
Yeah, and you can't use Deshaun as the example, because we just don't know if the sexual assault stuff doesn't happen, can they mend the relationship after hiring Caserio? Like, no one really knows the answer to that question. Because I still think there's a chance that Deshaun, if he's not this weirdo, that he's still a Texan. That they find a way to mend this relationship, and promising to involve him in a GM hire than not doing it, that they fix everything. So it's unfair to compare CJ to Deshaun because of everything that happened off the field.
Mm-hmm. He's Joe and Paul. It's Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.